Hey, fellas, how come you're rubbing a rabbit's foot and crossing your fingers and looking at the stars? Theodore?
I wish I had a horse.
Simon?
A bright and shiny horse.
Alvin?
A horse I could call my own. I would feed him so nice.
I'm Douglas Bowles, and you are listening to 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio and thesyncbook.com, a weekly conversation with the interesting artists and thinkers of our day. You can find us online at 42minutes.com, and you can reach us by sending a message to mail at 42minutes.com. You can also follow our tweets at Sync42 and at SyncBook. It's the 10th of December, and today we need to take a moment to meet an interesting new synchromystic.
That's actually a synchro miss. Hello, everyone. Will Morgan here. And as a rule on 42 Minutes, when we find people doing interesting work, taking the time to make interesting sync connections, that is, engaging in a sync practice, we feel it is our job to meet them. We like different perspectives, and that's why we are coming to you today to share 42 Minutes with Rory, the synchro miss. Planted here on Earth to share her intel, downloads, and code cracking, and integrating the art of synchronicity while transitioning to higher states of consciousness and awareness. More information about her work can be found on her blog, synchromiss.wordpress.com. I'll spell that out for you. That's synchromiss.wordpress.com.
M-I-S-S, Will.
M-I-S-S. Thank you, Douglas. She is entirely a mystery to us, and we are curious to hear about her practice. Welcome, Rory. How are you this morning?
I'm great. Thanks for having me.
You bet. How long have you been doing this?
How long have I been blogging on Synchromiss? A little over 2 years. But I originally stumbled upon synchronicity probably back in 2001 or 2002.
What was your initiation into synchronicity?
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay. I met my now boyfriend via Twitter and the Law of Attraction. He also is a code cracker and synchromystic. I found him by chance, not through his blog. He has a blog of his own. And
is this Jim?
This is Jim, yeah.
This is Jim, okay.
And, yeah, he just activated me, and I started downloading and cracking codes and syncing even more to a higher level, I'd say.
So what was it on Twitter that compelled you to explore both him and synchronicity?
He was trying to get my attention for a while. I've been on a spiritual path, I'd say, since 2001 or 2002. It just grew into you know, synchromysticism. I met him. I finally, you know, paid attention, tapped into one of his videos. He used to have a YouTube channel, great videos. And I, from there, just I just started downloading and writing, you know, blog posts, really. Just DNA activation.
Interesting. He activated you, but then as far as learning about synchronicity and then synchromysticism, what were the avenues you were exploring initially?
I guess it started off with I was receiving downloads, just, you know, random intuitions. I would look at a, you know, code-cracking constellations, tying it in with the astrology that I had already, you know, been learning about since 2001, and just applying what I had learned throughout my spiritual path, numerology, just the basics, which just then tied into synchronicity.
It's interesting because the synchronicity field or loose internet community is big enough so that many of us haven't, you know, you can do work for years and not know about each other.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting because I wasn't aware of your site, like Douglas said, until he let me in on it in preparation for the show. And it's amazing to me how close your year has been to my own. Like we were both talking about before the beginning of the show, we're 36 years old this year, and so we're both born in 78, the year of the horse, and my whole year has been nothing but horses. And in particular, I had a big BoJack Horseman sync this year as well.
I blogged about that. That's funny. What was that?
Well, I don't know if you've seen my presentation for the Olympia Sync Summit, which was August 8th, which was basically all about horses, because all year I've been just dealing with horses. And then sitting at home right after that was the first time I had gotten Netflix. So, I mean, it was in August, and then BoJack Horseman, I think, it came out on August 22nd or something like that. And so it was like,
yeah,
as soon as...
Yeah, the first day of year, I think.
Right. So it was like the first, right when I got Netflix, I turn it on and there's this man with this horse head. And then like shortly after that, my kids were like, we don't want to watch this. We want to watch the Disney Channel. And they come in and like the whole thing is like, I swear it was like 2 seconds after they switched it on. They knock over this like museum display that had a horse and a rider, and all of the pieces like get jumbled up and they put it back on where the guy's head is on the horse's head is on the man. And about that time, I just had to get up and, like, walk out. But, I mean, I would like to know a little bit. I thought that, you know, it was a fairly recent insight for me to realize the connection between horses and Neptune and stuff. Why don't you go into a little bit of what you've been seeing this year as far as horses are concerned?
I've seen so much. I've blogged about a lot of it. I don't even know where to start. BoJack Horseman, I remember writing about because in that, for example, they show the wood element in the back, and there was, I think, a scene where, you know, he's on the show.
Oh,
you know,
Hollywood. I get it. That's
Hollywood,
cool.
And they just show the wood, you know. Yeah, Hollywood, and they show him against wood elements often. What else have I seen? I've seen, oh, man, it's written about so much, let me think, specifically with horses. I just blogged about Out of the Furnace, that came out. It really started with Gangnam Style, I think, because it was Opan Gangnam Style. And, you know, I was like, oh, this is a prelude to the Year of the Horse. And it was also in the game Just Dance 4. There's a dance to it, and they're like, Psy, whoever's supposed to be the guy or the girl, you know, they pull their bow and arrows to look like, you know, the archer, and then it's a horse dance. So it really started with that. And as you guys know, you know, from the Super Bowl last year, it just, you know, they've really brought on the horses, just horse symbolism everywhere. I mean, I've seen too much.
with the Broncos and so forth, you mean?
Oh, yeah. And then I was watching an episode of Shark Tank, and at the end, they had a joke with Jimmy Kimmel, JK, Jimmy Kimmel, and they were advertising horse pants. Pants.
Yeah. So then looking back at the year, I mean, when it started, I thought it was going to be a dark horse year.
You mean because Katy Perry mm-hmm. and stuff?
Yeah, that was so loud. But I'm wondering, you know, what do you make of 2014?
I don't know how you would describe dark. I think it's more of a light. It's brought things to light. I've seen a lot this year regarding horses. What do I make of 2014? I don't really know how to answer that question. I just kind of live in the moment and don't try to make sense of it. I just follow the breadcrumbs.
Yeah. Okay, let me... A dark horse is a little-known person or thing that emerges to prominence, especially in competition of some sort, or a contestant that seems unlikely to succeed. I don't know, that doesn't add anything to this. But so, from my perspective, I thought, and I've been playing with the idea of each of the years being an archetype in the tarot, and since this is 14, it was temperance or balance this year. And I don't know if I agree with that still or not. But there's definitely been a lot of things coming to light, like you said, this year.
Yeah, I mean, I had one of my best friends, her horse transitioned on Valentine's Day, 214. All I can think of is 214, Jupiter. The horse is a strong animal, prevails through anything. And it's, you know, the horse is a social creature. I think there's a lot that's happened this year. We've, you know, lost some big time actors. But there's a lot of rebirth taking place on the planet. So I think the horse has a lot to do with that as well.
Oh, in my favorite tarot system, the Wildwood Tarot, I think I don't know which, I'm going to have to find it, I'm sorry, but I think the horse card, it says, let the horse carry you. I wonder if that's 2014.
There's a horse card?
Yeah.
Hmm.
So what, I mean, when we look at your work, we see that one of the primary lenses that you utilize to take your view at the universe is astrology. Are there any good books, astrological books, that you can recommend to our listeners to get started in that? How did you get into astrology?
Books. And actually, I wish I could think of the books, but because I really don't tap into books anymore. I know that might sound weird, but I feel... I wish I could tell you off the top of my head. They're just basic astrology books. And most of that stuff you can find online now. You know, I just knew, I started learning what the dates are, just I memorized them. And then I took those dates, those numbers, and applied gematria to them. And they, you know, seeing codes everywhere. Like, how do I explain this? I can't think of any specific books off the top of my head that I would recommend. I tapped into these books over 10 years ago.
Sure. All right, so you guys ready for the Knight of Stones, the horse. The position on the wheel is passing through midwinter, and reading points. Healthy activity and self-sufficiency color your path. Physical strength supports your decisions, and pleasure is important. Daring, pride, and a love of the earth lead you to attempt ever more amazing feats. Let the horse carry you.
So a horse has to do with sexual morality to me, or sexual energy, especially if you use Freud and Jung. The horse is like the sign of the libido or the penis. But the white horse, like in you know, when Jesus comes back, he's supposed to be on a white horse. when Kalki the Destroyer comes back during the Kali Yuga, he's supposed to be on a white horse. So it's kind of like a sign of sexual morality or purity, or the harnessing of the sexual energy to get stuff done instead of letting it roam free. So it's funny you keep saying, like, because one of the lessons that I learned was you got to ride the horse. You can't let the horse ride you. Does that make sense? But I like how you associate it to Jupiter a lot as well, because Jupiter to me is kind of a symbolism in Philip K. Dickian terms of King Felix, or the god of luck, which comes back, and Philip K. Dick says the Messiah is King Felix. And so I mixed the two together for Jupiter. And so it has some relationship to the horses, like I mentioned for Jesus and Kalki as well. But it's weird that this, like, horse. It's not like we've never really had any contact, and your blog has given me a lot of insight on things that I either didn't know were there or I find interesting. But I don't know. That's weird. When there's confirmation like that, I mean, when two sync heads see the same thing when they're not really connected, I mean, what does that do for you as far as, like, I mean, where's your crazy state at? Do you think you're crazy for being a sync head at this point, or are you kind of over that?
I'm over that.
So where is this taking you? Where are you going with this then?
I don't know where I'm going to, maybe possibly write some books. But, like, everything, I just want to live in the moment. But to add to the horse thing, I think the horse also represents a rebirth of the sun, because it's Horus, you know? That's what I meant in my Gangnam style post. I just wanted to touch on that again. I think it has something to do with the rebirth of the sun. And on May 4th, 2012, I saw two suns in the sky. And it was the most amazing sight I've ever seen. One of them, because I've seen a lot. But I had to add to that.
Okay, so this has happened throughout history before. And some people call it the emotional sun, which is the horse being associated to Neptune. If you think of Neptune is actually, you can think of Zeus, Neptune, and Hades as all the same person. Jupiter or Zeus would be consciousness, like it's the airy aspect of Jupiter. Neptune would be the emotional. So there's some kind of link between emotion and horses. Like sometimes writers say that they have a psychic link where their horse knows what they're thinking and stuff of that nature. And the second sun that you saw in the sky is sometimes referred to as the emotional sun. Have you ever heard of these things before?
No, I haven't. That's really interesting.
So, I mean, Jupiter, like I said, with 42 and King Felix, is often associated to the second sun in the sky as well, because in like 2010, the movie, when Jupiter turns into Lucifer, or the second sun in the sky. So there's the symbolism there is often like wraps around in on itself. Like a lot of times where you see things with the second sun, you're seeing with Jupiter too. So I'm saying your threads are connected in some weird way. So tell me more about the second sun. I've heard this, but not in modern times. I mean, what happened there?
I was with my best friend, and we were we had just had dinner, and we were standing in this busy parking lot, and it's seemed like time just stood still. We both saw it, because we were sky watchers anyway, and at the same time, we look up, and we're like, oh my gosh, I'm like, do you see that? And I'm going crazy. I feel like everybody can hear me in the parking lot, because I'm shouting, and nobody can hear me. Everybody just keeps going about their business. This has happened to me before, where time just stood still. And the sun appeared right above our regular sun, and it came down and it met the sun side by side. Above that, there were other things going on in the sky. There was like a spiral. I have pictures of it, but of course it didn't capture what we saw with our own two eyes that day. It was just amazing. I mean, there were cloud ships around, this light that I can't describe in words. It was unreal.
Have you seen Winter's Tale yet?
I have not.
I would highly recommend it because it has the horse going up into the sky and becoming a star. But they also call it a dog. I've seen it in two movies being called a dog, actually. In Hildago, where my whole presentation at Olympia Sync Summit is all the horse connections between Viggo Mortensen and horses. Mm-hmm. And in that, the Indians call it a big dog. It's also referred to, or Russell Crowe. See, there's kind of this weird Russell Crowe, Christian Bale thing going on that I find weird and interesting.
Christian Bale of Hank?
Yeah, there's a lot going on right here. I can feel little, like what you said, downloads. I'm having a hard time like articulating stuff because just by going through your blog and listening to you speak, I'm getting downloads and stuff. My mind just jumped on Fisher King. I remember reading in your blog somewhere about Fisher King and then Fisher Island. Nathan Lane and Fisher Island. What was that? Was that in The Birdcage? Where they're talking about Fisher.
That was in The Birdcage.
Yeah. Where they're talking about Fisher Island, and then because, oh fuck, this is really blasting me. I'm sorry about this, but okay, so you're talking about Fisher King with Jeff Bridges and Robin Williams, right? You got Birdcage, they mentioned Fisher Island. You got Fisher King with Jeff Bridges. Jeff Bridges was in Seabiscuit too. You get where I'm going?
I get where you're going. He's the bridge. But I get where you're going.
Oh my goodness. And then like the whole Christian
bridge. Go ahead.
The Christian Bale thing. Well, yeah, Odin was a horse too. Odin, I can't remember, it was some weird name of a horse, but Odin was always seen with a horse as well. So it was like he was always on the Rainbow Bridge on this horse. Good grief. And Christian Bale thing, would you explain a little bit more about that and how you came to Christian Bale and horses?
I watched American Hustle. And again, the creators of these films, what I've noticed since Gangnam Style, they do things ahead of time. So that movie came out at the end of 2013. Before our year, The Greenwood Horse. And he was in that film. He is not only like a Christ archetype, because he's BC, before Christ, Christian Bale, or CB, and Christ is in his name. He was born in the year of the Jupiter Tiger. He's in that film, and there, you know, a horse with no name comes on in that movie. Let's see, what else? He's also in a movie that came out just a week before that, which was Out of the Furnace. And he's associated there with Woody Harrelson, who's in that movie, and Forrest Whitaker, who Green Forest, wood trees. He's just associated with Jupiter in 2442.
Okay, so he actually played Jesus, though, didn't he, Christian Bale?
I believe he did. Yeah.
Yeah, Christian Bale is Jesus, I remember. But he's also about to play Moses.
No, I think that's Jim Cavell or Carvel.
What?
I think Christian Bale looks a lot like him. Christian Bale's playing Moses.
No, I'm telling you, Christian Bale played Jesus before, a long time ago. I'm certain of it. You can look up Christian Bale Jesus and you'll get a picture of it. And he is about to play Moses. But that's already like a twist in itself. Do you know what I mean? You know, who plays Moses and Jesus at the same time? Let me make sure that I'm talking around the same thing because I'm almost positive. Mary, yeah, he put in the movie, it came out in 1999, it was a TV movie called Mary, Mother of Jesus, and he played Jesus of Nazareth.
Hmm.
And now, I mean, the whole Dark Knight thing insists on a horse as well, because it's a knight, do you know what I mean?
Right, and then so the Knight of Pentacles is the equivalent card of the horse card in my system, and that represents work, effort, responsibility. The knight is engaged in toilsome routine, but requires the release of dreams. You know, and so there I'm seeing your winter's story, that, you know, the horse, the Pegasus in that. So, I mean, even though this plow horse is connected to the earth, because we were talking about the earthiness of the horse, you know, the goal is to bring dreams to light.
See, he also played, he played John Connor in Terminator, which that would be another John Connor, would be Jesus Christ, would be, it's the coming of the apocalypse. I mean, he's the bringer of the apocalypse in Terminator. He also plays in a new movie that's in post-production right now called Knight of Cups. And he's also in pre-production for Jungle Book Origins, where he's Bagheera. Now, this is a weird one because Bagheera was the panther. It means panther. And both Dionysus and Jesus were said to be raised by panthers. There's something here that I don't think anybody's expressed, and I think you're on to it, Rory.
I'm just listening and taking all of this in. It's actually really making me think a lot right now. So that's great.
There's probably something there in 310 to Yuma, too, which I've never seen.
It's great when all, you know, when like minds sync up.
Well, I'm curious about what it's like to be in a relationship with
another
sync
kid. That's not
amazing.
So do your threads end up syncing then? Or do you find that your research is completely different?
It's a little different. He activated me and I started doing things on my own. He doesn't blog much anymore, but we're always out, you know, especially when you're out on the grid and 3D and cracking codes and anywhere. We go back and forth, and a lot of times, you know, people are just like, okay.
Okay, this is another question, because I've noticed how you've said it a couple of times during this, and I'm not going to judge you or anything like that, so don't, like, change your answer, but your take on all of this is intentional? I mean, is this intentionally done by filmmakers and so forth?
You mean by filmmakers?
Yeah.
No, so she's cracking codes, which what he will wants to know, where's the code coming from? Is it consciousness?
Well, that's a good question. Actually, Jim and I had that conversation. We had that conversation often. We'll watch something. I'm like, they know. And then sometimes, you know, the other night he presented to me, he's like, well, what if everything is just perfect? What if, you know, it's just like that? And I'm like, it could be. My answer is, I don't know. I just like to show how everything is connected. It's fun for me. I try not to think about it too much, because I think it takes away the fun. So I don't know. I think, yes, to an extent, the creators of these films, yes, they do. I wonder who, like, has the book of codes, like, okay, we're going to put this one here, and you're going to be a horse here, you know, and you're going to have this name or this pseudonym.
See, that's the tough part right there, is because that takes it's like an artificial intelligence type organization to have, you know, an individual's career mapped out for him for 20 years. Some of these movies are off of books. Do you know what I mean? Some of them have multiple writers. Some of them were, you know, put down and not made for, were in like this limbo in production for like 10 years plus or whatever. I mean, shit, what if everything is perfect? And trying to tell like the average person, I mean, outside of your relationship, how hard is it for you to talk to other people about these things?
I still do it because I feel like more and more people are experiencing synchronicity on a daily basis. I see it in my own family. So if I notice something, I'll say, if we're talking about geese and then some geese fly by, I will say something. Oh, look, there's some geese. We were just talking about geese. And most of the time, when I say it to people, all ego aside, I get the wheels turning. They start thinking, like, they question their reality a little. So I think it's a good thing.
I think if you can do it and keep it light and fun, everyone loves it. And so yeah. Alan and I were talking about this last night, how Radio 8 Ball is so perfect because it's a vehicle that delivers fun synchronicity to people. When the vehicle, I mean, if it's intended to like be heavy and people want heavy, then that's great. But I think one of the thoughts I had about this show today is, you know, is 42 minutes too specialized? Do our normal consciousness listeners think that we're crazy as our brains get slipperier and slipperier as the show goes? I just wonder. I wonder how we keep it fun. Did I lose you guys?
No, you just gotta keep it light and fun, like you said. Just if you, especially to people who aren't, I'd say at the level that we're at, you know, just show them like the basics, like how everything connects to one another. Are you guys familiar with the Mets Buckethead guy that used to be featured on Jimmy Kimmel?
No.
He was called the Mets Bucket Hat Guy. You'll have to look him up. But he would show you how everything is connected. You know, and I thought that was funny because when I keep seeing it more and more, you know, in TV, in movies, where they mention synchronicity. So, you know, it's like, yes, there is a creator of all these shows, and I think they're preparing the masses for, you know, synchronicity. I'm seeing it more and more. It's just blowing my mind.
Well, yeah, I think about these new religions. There's like there's all kinds of new talk about synchronicity. There's different synchronicity, like not our summit in particular, but I saw the other one with Rupert Sheldrake, and I think Hancock was involved. Then there's this whole Keegan thing, the actor who has started a synchronicity-based religion in Venice Beach. But it's weird. Have you ever read the Celestine Prophecy by?
It's one of my favorite books.
I read that back when I was like 19 years old, but to go back and read it and to see like the first insight is everybody becoming obsessed with synchronicity. I mean, what do you think about that? The more I think about it, the further we get down the timeline, the more I think that that guy was absolutely right.
I agree. That's one of the first books I stumbled upon when I stumbled upon synchronicity. That and Healing with the Angels, where they talk about the repetition of numbers. Number sequences, but that book especially, I'm glad you mentioned it.
There's other, I mean, that's just the first insight, but then there's other ones like I've noticed the more I research, see, this is the thing. I can understand how it would be intentional for big name actors like Christian Bale, Russell Crowe, Denzel Washington, stuff like that. When that's why I stopped looking at big actors and started looking at, you know, people who are more in the industry of film and do TV shows and stuff like that. The stuff that couldn't possibly have been like manufactured. Individuals I can talk to when it sinks for them. Where I'm getting at though is when I started looking at those, it seems to have more to do with like their bloodline and stuff. Like, you know, Andras Jones syncs a lot with his dad and things. That's like the third insight in Celestine Prophecy is like that your parents coming together makes you prepared for doing what you're supposed to do in the world. You know, you get what I'm saying? I think it's actually the second insight or something. I don't know. I need to go back and read the book. Or we need to interview the damn dude or something.
Do you find your sync work is a reflection of the absolute current moment, or does it often have a prophetic feel and it's somehow illuminating what's coming, Rory?
I feel like it's all about what's in the moment, for sure. I'm always about living in the moment. And sometimes, it would be a mix of both prophecy, predicting future events.
Well, your furnace piece, you said you wrote that on the 6th?
Yeah.
Yeah, and so, I mean, that weekend, that there was some particularly bad psychic weather at that moment. It just felt like, and I noticed this, that oftentimes there's these waves of darkness that just kind of roll over consciousness, and that's when, you know, it's like batting the hatches. And so it's just funny to me that there's something about this furnace and stoking the heat that your peace captures at that moment.
I never thought about that, and it was snowing here, so that's pretty perfect. I didn't even think about that. But if you're asking, does the weather affect when I write what I do, I would definitely say yes, absolutely. I wrote a blog post, got downloaded during Sandy, and that's when a lot of change was taking place on the planet. She was cleaning up as part of New Jersey because it needs some cleaning up, if that's what you're asking.
Well, sure. So, like, there's physical weather and there's astrological weather, but they're definitely connected. Because I noticed, like, the year that we got the most snow and then the river had the most flow was a huge flow. I mean, it just seemed like the sinks washed over me that whole year. Like, there's no way, you know, the point was not fighting the current, just letting it take me. I think that was...
Right.
2011, maybe, was that year.
I was thinking last year with the polar vortex, but maybe...
There was that. That was a trip. And then, even though people joke about it, the 2012, that moment was also a vortex, too. Really incredible as far as the kind of sinks that kind of surrounded that node.
Yeah, that was a big year for me, too. Like 12, 12, 12, and 12, 21, 12.
Yeah. Well, I mean, so we've looked back a little bit. 2015, the year of the sheep in the Chinese zodiac. It looks like it's a wood sheep.
Wood green sheep, I think, yeah.
I mean, I wonder... Sheep can go a couple ways. It can be docile, but it also can be perceived as the ram, too.
Or the goat.
The goat, right. Which takes you into the devil. Which is interesting because...
Or Pan.
Pan. The 15th tarot card is the devil. And so that would be 2015 in my approximation if I continue down that path.
I'm anxious to see the codes that will be... presenting themselves in on TV and in movies. It's always fun for me to find.
Well, then do you get to movies pretty often, or?
You know, I have started to decode and watch movies more since, I'd say, 2012, yes. We don't have cable, but, you know, you can get anything now.
Yeah.
Online. But we have Netflix, which is, you know, big staple here.
Yeah, it's never ending.
Yeah, it's never ending.
And then do you find yourself, the threads, I'm curious about your threads, do you find yourself focusing on particular actors, like the Christian Bale thread? Or is it just...
Oh, not intentionally, it just happens.
Yeah.
I see it, and I'm like, I have to write about that. I don't even try to, it just happens.
Here's something, a curiosity. So on your blog, you have sextants, which is a constellation. Could you explain what that means to you and why you put it there?
I can definitely do that. My middle name is Sonia, and my last name is Exton. So back in 2012, the end of 2012, I was downloading and getting a lot of information about the constellations, and sextants came to me, and I just had an intuition that was one of my home planets, or that is one of the places I've resided before, and so that's why it's the background of my blog. And the sextant really, I have experience with the actual sextant itself, which is a tool.
And it's a tool to navigate a course using the stars, which is what synchromysticism is.
Yes, thank you.
Yeah, it's great. It's a really great analog of what you do.
Wow.
Is there anything that you're seeing right now that really is compelling you? That, you know, like, where's your next post going? Do you have a sense of that, or is it really when the inspiration strikes you?
It's really when the inspiration strikes me, but to be honest with you, I'm writing 3 blog posts right now, and I usually like to keep them a secret until I publish them.
Well,
it's just a rule I have for myself. I always live in the moment because time really doesn't exist.
Could you explain that just a little bit, for what that means to you?
Just living in the now. I feel like if I just live in the now, and I do, synchronicity just flows, and I can watch time stand still. I don't really know how to explain it into words. It's just a feeling.
Have you seen Interstellar?
I haven't seen it yet.
We spoke with S.J. Anderson yesterday, and he said something just really amazing about how time is a really important part of that movie. And he broke it down and kind of explained how there was no time, and it had to do with the state of your heart, that you stay in the moment of your heart and you transcend time and space.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I listened to that podcast, and I was like, wow, this really resonates. But yeah, just staying in the moment, living in your heart, keeping your heart nice and open, and everything just flows perfectly. And you can bend light and bend time that way.
Well, that was 42 Minutes. Thank you for sharing it with us.
Thank you for having me.
You bet.
You've been listening to Rory, The Synchro Miss, on 42 Minutes, a production of SyncBook Radio on thesyncbook.com. You can find more information about her work at her blog, synchromiss.wordpress.com. And let's see if I can get this right. synchromiss.wordpress.com. For more information about The SyncBook, our guest, check out past shows, or to subscribe to the podcast via iTunes, please be sure and visit our website at 42minutes.com. If you like the podcast, please support it by becoming a donor. You'll find the donation links under each episode on the website, and consider setting up a monthly charge. Thanks so much, and if we sync, we lift our love.
Emotions. I'm Dr. Marcia Fieldstone, broadcasting live across America from the top of the Sears Tower in Chicago. Tonight, we're talking about wishes and dreams. What's your wish this Christmas Eve?
What's your
Maybe
wish?
The best present
My
you can give
wish
yourself
is to turn
call
the radio
to
station.
The number in Chicago.
Subject.
And I heard, as it were, the noise of thunder. One of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse.
There's a man going round taking names, and he decides who to free and who to blame. Everybody won't be treated all the same. There'll be a golden ladder reaching down when the man comes around. The hairs on your arm will stand up at the terror in each sip and in each sup. Will you partake of that last offered cup, or disappear into the potter's ground? When the man comes around, hear the trumpets, hear the pipers, 100 million angels singing. multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. Till Armageddon, no shalom, no shalom. Then the father hen will call his chickens home. The wise men will bow down before the throne. And at his feet they'll cast their golden crowns. When the man comes around, whoever is unjust, let him be unjust still. Whoever is righteous, let him be righteous still. Whoever is filthy, let him be filthy still. Listen to the words long written down. When the man comes around. Hear the trumpets, hear the pipers. 100 million angels singing. Multitudes are marching to the big kettle drum. Voices calling, voices crying. Some are born and some are dying. It's Alpha and Omega's kingdom come. And the whirlwind is in the thorn tree. The virgins are all trimming their wicks. The whirlwind is in the thorn tree. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks. In measured hundredweight and penny pound. When the man comes around.
His name that sat on him was Death, and Hell followed with him.